But there's so much more to worship.
Amen.
There's so much more to worship. Yes, singing, praising God that way. But praise Him throughout your day.
Amen.
Talk about Him. Serve others. Help someone else. In Jesus' name. That's worship.
Amen.
Number three, pray. Start your day with prayer and end it with prayer. I'm not real good at that. But I do pray throughout the day. I talk with Jesus throughout the day. And it may be, you know, later on in the morning before I actually start talking to Jesus. But if you're brand new at this, make that a goal. Make that something that you do, is you start your day in prayer. I know several people here who have a routine that they do. Pete's one of them. He starts his day like that, and he ends it with that. That's how you have the maintenance of your spiritual condition. That's how. That's maintenance. Number four, ask God for wisdom.
Amen.
He knows best.
Amen.
For so long, I've went on my own. I did what I want to do. And a lot of it was just the wrong thing to do, but I did it because I wanted to. Making decisions based on self. Ask God for wisdom. Five, praise Jesus for healing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for victory, even before you see it come to pass. Live in it. When you're praying for healing, when you're praying for someone, already prepare yourself for that to be done. Prepare yourself for the victory. You know He's going to do it in some shape, form, or fashion. It may not look the way we want it to look, but the healing is going to happen. See, for us in recovery, there's a lot of other things we could continue to list. Working the steps, working with a sponsor, giving permission to someone to tell you what to do. Nobody really likes that one. But I believe the number one thing for us allergic people is to learn how to follow instructions. To learn how to follow instructions. It's maintenance. It's spiritual maintenance. Follow instructions. We don't like it. We don't like to do that. Okay, now here's an example, and I know that I don't like to do it because here's an example. I went out to IKEA, and I think I talked about this during a meeting or something like that. Go out to IKEA. Now, when you go out to IKEA, you're looking at a bed or a dresser or something that's already. And you know what? It was really crazy. What Teresa read that Judy wrote. She talked about building a bike and stuff, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm talking about following directions tonight. But if you go out to IKEA and you're looking at a bed and it's all put together and the dresser and it's all put together and it looks wonderful. And like, I want that. That's what I want. I want that. I want that entertainment center. So you grab that thing in a box, not built, not put together, and you take it home and you cut open the box and you get all these pieces and there's 5,000 nuts and bolts over here and things you have to hammer together over here and nails, and you spread all that out. And you pick up the directions and you toss them over your shoulder.
Yep.
I've done it. And about 10 minutes into it, you're going, where's those directions? It's hard. It's hard to live life without following directions. Something for the ladies. Now, I like to bake too. I like to bake. Now, and I don't do stuff from scratch. I go get the cake box. Right? And I'll pull the cake box. I'll rip the top off of it. I'll open the bag. I'll dump it in the bowl. And I'll walk over and I'll throw the cake box in the trash. And then I look at the bowl and I go, okay, there's got to be something else added to this. Back to the trash can to pull the box out of it. Set it down here and follow those directions.
Amen.
You have to follow directions. You have to follow the instructions. So tonight we're going to take a quick look at a couple of men. One, he followed his instructions, and the other did not. The first guy that we're going to look at, if you want to, turn to Matthew 19. It's 19, 16 through 24. I brought the glasses tonight because I didn't write it all out, and I'm going to read it straight out of the Bible. So, Matthew 19, 24, 16 through 24. The rich young ruler. Okay. It says, a man came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good things must I do to have life forever?" Jesus answered, "Why do you ask about what is good? Only God is good. But if you want to have life forever, obey the commands." The man asked, "Which commands?" Jesus answered, "You must not murder anyone. You must not be guilty of adultery. You must not steal. You must not tell lies about your neighbor. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as you love yourself." The young man said, I have obeyed all these things. What else do I need to do?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be made perfect," okay, if you're following along there and you have your Bible, underline the word perfect. We're going to come back and talk about that word in just a minute. But if you want to be made perfect, then go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. If you do this, you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when the young man heard this, he was sorrowful because he was rich. Then Jesus said to his followers, "I tell you the truth, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yes, I tell you that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Okay, like I said, there's a couple of things that we can look at here. First of all, verse 21, where he says, "If you want to be made perfect," that word stuck out to me because in my mind, the only time that I'm ever going to be made perfect is when I'm not here,
right,
when I'm not walking around here. Amen. So I had to investigate it a little bit more, and I looked it up in the Greek, and it's teleosis. And I believe that's probably what Jesus was saying there. And it means complete in all parts. If I want to be complete in all parts, now I can wrap my mind around that. I can wrap my mind around being complete in all my parts here on earth. To be made perfect, I'm going to have to go there. I'm going to have to leave this world to be made perfect. But to be complete in all my parts, I can do that here. Made a lot more sense to me. So this man asked, "What do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God?" And he said, "If you want to be made perfect, complete in all parts, get rid of that thing that's holding you back from me. Get rid of that thing that's holding you back from me." So look at verse 24. It says, "Yes, I tell you that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Now, when we think about this, the first thing we think about an eye of a needle, we think about this. We think about that, right? We think about a camel going through literally an eye of a needle. And pretty much impossible. But that ain't what Jesus said here in the scripture. Jesus said it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. So it's possible. So I did a little more investigating on that scripture. And what I found out is in Jerusalem and many cities in that area, in that era, he's probably going to call me down on that one. Many cities in that era, there was walls built around the city. And there would be a main gate where everyone passed through. You load your camel up for the day. You got to go take care of business. You're outside the wall. You're outside the main gate. At some point, the main gate would be shut. And there was a smaller gate. It was big enough for a person to go through, but not big enough for you to get through with your camel packed out for the day. So what would have to happen for the camel to make it through that smaller gate is you would have to unpack it. You would have to unload your pack for the day. You would have to unload all your goods that you were going to carry out and go through that gate, or wait for the bigger gate to be open. But to get through the eye of the needle, the camel had to be unloaded. It had to be taken off, the stuff that had to be taken off of it, and then it could fit through there. So how can a camel get through the eye of a needle? Let go and let God. The newlyweds just came in. Right on. Good deal.
Only been married a year.
Yeah. Again.
Again.
Yeah. So anyway, let's look back at it again. That last thing that I said before we were so rudely interrupted. The last thing I said was, how can a camel fit through the eye of a needle? Let go and let God. Amen. There's things that have to be dropped off. You have to drop some stuff off to get through the wall. Okay, I want to go back to verse 22, and this is the Shea Bible translation, the CBT. Verse 22 says, when the young man heard this, he left sorrowful, because he could not follow Jesus' instructions. He couldn't let go. He couldn't dump that load on the other side of the wall. He couldn't unpack his camel. So he went away sorrowful. He stayed on this side of the wall when Jesus was on this side of the wall. And all he had to do was unload. All he had to do was drop that stuff on this side of the wall to pass through to get closer to Jesus. He chose not to follow the instructions, and he went away sorrowful. Now, the second man we're going to talk about tonight is in the book of John, John 9, if you want to turn there. John 9, 1. Jesus heals a blind man. It says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind. His followers asked him, "Teacher, whose sin caused this man to be born blind? His own sin or his parents' sin?" Jesus answered, "It is not the man's sin or his parents' sin that made him blind. This man was born blind so that God's power could be shown in him." Man, just as soon as I read that, I read that and underlined it immediately because of the stuff that I had already been talking about. This man was born that way, just like us that were born with that allergy. Now, from time to time, you hear, and if I say, man, it's addiction tendencies, we're born with them. We're born with them, and it's a roll of the dice whether you're going to be an alcoholic or drug addict or gamble your life away. It's a roll of the dice. Why would God have me born that way? It's a curse. It destroyed my life. It destroys others' lives. Why would God have me be born that way? Right here is your answer. So that God's power could be shown in him. That's why. But you have to follow those instructions. You have to dump that stuff on the other side of the wall. Amen. While it is daytime, we must continue doing the work of the one who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said this. He spit on the ground and made some mud with it and put the mud on the man's eyes. Then he told the man, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," So the man went, washed, and came back seeing. He followed the instructions. The neighbors and some people who had earlier seen this man begging said, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "He is the one." But others said, "No, he only looks like him." The man himself said, "I am the man." They asked, "How did you get your sight?" He answered, "The man named Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. Then he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." Amen. He could see. He followed the instructions. Verse 3, the man was born blind, just like I said earlier. He was born with it. Why? For God's glory. All he had to do is follow the instructions. Verse 7, Jesus gave instructions and the man followed them. That whole scripture, that's what the whole scripture is about. There was a man who was born a certain way. Jesus met him. He gave him some instructions to go do. The man did it and he could see again. He was healed. That whole story, that's the only reason. That's the whole premise of the whole story. Verse 9, the man, let's go back on and read it one more time. Some said, "He is the one." But others said, "No, he only looks like him." The man himself said, "I am the man." They asked, "How did you get your sight?" He answered, "The man named Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. Then he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. Then I could see." My question was there something in the mud? It's Jesus' spit. That probably has some healing properties, right? But it was mud. It was just mud. And he put it on the guy's eyes. No. It had nothing to do with the mud. It had to do with the man followed Jesus' instructions. Amen. But the man was blind. He was blind. I'm sure he's probably heard of this place, Siloam, to wash. I'm sure that he's probably heard of it. He may have even been to it. But he couldn't see how to get there. Did he just feel his way and hope that he went to the same, went to the right place? The scripture doesn't say. But in my mind, someone had to lead him there. Someone had to take his hand and show him the way. I don't think he did it alone. I don't think that he received the instructions, but I don't think he carried those instructions out alone. I don't think he did it by himself. And you don't have to either. You don't have to do it alone. You know, most every time I'm up here, I like to try to give y'all a little something to think about during the week. And the two questions are on that paper. Question one, are you following instructions? Are you following instructions? Are you allowing someone to lead you to the Pool of Siloam? Are you following the directions that are given to you? See, when I first came into recovery, I didn't know nothing. I had to be told what to do. And there's this funny saying, they say, you know, when I came into recovery, if they told me to go in the corner and stack BBs on my head, that's what I would have done. If you think about that, stacking BBs on your head, that's going to any lengths. But that's what it had to be. I had to follow directions. I had to follow the instructions that were given to me. Yes, I didn't do it alone. I had people right beside me the whole way. Question two. Are you standing at the eye of a needle? Are you standing at an opening and you can't get through? Is there a struggle that you need to let go of? Is there something you need to unload? Y'all guys, come on back up. I'm going to ask y'all to do something tonight. It's a little probably out of some of your comfort zones, probably not for some, not no big deal. Think about it. They're going to play a little bit of music here, and will you turn the lights down? They're going to play a little something, and I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to say that thing out loud. When you speak it out, it takes power from it. When you say it out loud, that diminishes the power. There may be something that you can't really put a name to. Just say, I unload. I'm giving it to you, God. I unload. Unload that stuff on this side of the wall so you can meet Jesus on the other side. A camel will fit through the eye of a needle. He didn't say it was impossible. You have to unload it. Unload that stuff tonight. Let it go. Let God have it. Speak it out.
I have to fear what other people think about me. Pride.
Procrastination.
Self-doubt.
Fear.
Pain.
Health problems.
Insecurities. Inadequacy. Jesus, I unload. 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 Lord in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that you're standing on the other side of that wall. Help us to continue to unload these things. It's the only way to get closer to you. Thank you for the people that come along beside us and lead us. People that have been there, they can say the words, I know. Lord, we love you. Bless this church. Bless these people. In your name.